Hello, my name's Adam Spring, and this is a Remotely Interested podcast, hosted at remotely-interested.com. My guest for this episode is Larry Kleinkemper. Larry and his wife have a company called Landmark Services out of Austin, Texas, and they work a lot with an idea known as BIM, Building Information Modeling. Now, as Larry says in the interview, BIM is all about databases, and it's very interesting to go through several things with him. I think the key takeaways from this revolve around 3D imaging, GIS, BIM, and how digital technologies are creating a multidisciplinary environment. A byproduct of this as well is something I would call the drinking game. Throughout the interview, Larry and I end up basically saying quite a bit. He starts it and then I start feeding off of it, and it's quite funny to listen to, actually. Anyway, I'd like to thank Larry for his time now. I'll probably thank him again at the end of the interview. And also, at the end of this podcast, there will be an Easter egg. So do listen along to what Larry has to say and listen to the end to listen what he might say at the end as well. If Doctor Who isn't enough for you, Cardiff, Wales has another claim to fame. It's the home of Aeon Technology Limited. That's a-eon.biz. Aeon Technology is creating Amiga 1 computers. And around that, they are also developing out softwares like ImageFX, Personal Paint, Octomed. They also have AmiStore.net, which is their developer platform. Anyway, if you're interested in any kind of computing, and particularly Amiga-based computing, go over to a-eon.biz. That's a-eon.biz. pvpubs.co.uk is more than a catchy website name. It's the home of Geomatics World and GIS Professional. If you have any geospatial needs or any interest in the geospatial industry, why not go over to pvpubs.co.uk? And why don't you reach out to them if you're interested in advertising with them or wanting to put an article in one of their publications? Anyway, that's pvpubs.co.uk. Hello, sticker lovers. Why don't you head over to stickerrobot.com? That's sticker with one R, obot with no R, .com. They can also basically print out any forms of stickers that you want. Die-cut stickers, clear stickers, business card stickers, round stickers, any kind of stickers you want. Go over to stickerrobot.com. So, Larry, tell me a little bit more about what you do.
Landmark Services is our company, and we run around North America scanning buildings and turning them into computer models that architects and engineers can use for doing major renovations, additions, historic preservation.
So how did you get into what you do? Because it sounds as though you're coming at it from a very specialist angle. So I'm assuming, you know, the computing equipment you must have is custom built, and, you know, the softwares that you use must take a long time to learn.
Yeah, it's, you know, my first love in life was architecture. I wanted to be an architect from a very early age, and I went to school and achieved that goal. And then, but one of the things that I had latched on to in my early studies was I seemed to have a knack for computer modeling. And so, you know, from the 90s to the early 2000s, I was, you know, the Viz guy. I was the guy who did a lot of rendering and animation and real-time stuff, presentations to win giant buildings. And then at some point, scanning entered my life around 2007. And when I got the opportunity to go out and scan, do a 3D scan of the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. And from there, it just overtook my life. I mean, the whole 3D scanning industry and combining that to, you know, get a picture, a real technical picture of what's going on with buildings and making that information useful. And so that's what I do.
Okay, now I suppose the thing I would pick out immediately would be, so tell me more, or tell the audience more, about 3D scanning and sort of the concept behind it.
Yeah, so you know, a little bit of the history of what's going on and how we've, you know, used it. So probably the more traditional thing that people think of is time of flight. And LIDAR is a term that they may have heard, which stands for light detection and ranging. Time of flight, it's, you know, actually all the technologies are essentially, for scanning, is it's shooting out a pulse of light and timing how long it takes to get from a scanner to a surface. And it's a really cool technology that gives us a high level of detail of information of surfaces and parts of buildings.
So what would you have been using prior to laser scanning?
Years and years and years of running around with cameras and a tape measure and, 11 by 17 pads of paper and, making hand drawings on site. And, that was a certain level of efficiency that's been around for a millennia, just about. One of the things, there was two problems with it. One was you inevitably always miss something right behind you. You get whatever's right in front of you and then you'd miss something critical and you'd have to travel back to the job site. And at this time, we're working, over the entire North America continent. So to have to go back and travel across the country or across the continent, that's expensive. And doing it with cameras and a tape measure, you would count on it taking a minimum of two times, and it would often take much more than that in order to get all the detail you needed. And then there was a lot of things that were either dangerous to touch, to measure, like electrical stuff, or simply out of reach, way up high on a ceiling or someplace where it was hard to get to. And so 3D scanning has really, really just improved the whole process of our profession as far as documenting what's there.
And I think that's interesting because I'm assuming that basically this, on a broader scale in terms of the 3D image, it sounds as though essentially what you're doing is you're able to take the physical object away with you as opposed to be grounded by the physical object.
Yeah, that's exactly right. For documenting as-built buildings, one of the things I love to joke around and say is that, anytime somebody hires me to document a building, I often ask them first to send the building to me. But as it turns out, numbering the bricks and everything is too complicated. So they just end up, I have to go there. And so it ends up being a lot of travel for me. Because there's only so many giant buildings in any one town. And the other thing that's interesting about it is how over recent time, at the beginning in 2007 through 2010, the technology was so expensive that it was only giant buildings or very sort of star architecture. It was, it was star buildings that had no real budget. And that they were so important that it didn't matter what the cost was necessarily, it was going to get done. From 2010 to 2012, the process started to take form and become somewhat efficient and economical. And then from 2012 to current day, it really, now it's getting down into the smaller and smaller buildings. I don't think it's quite reached residential unless you have quite the villa, but it's gotten down to pretty small commercial buildings as far as being the fastest, most economical, most efficient way of getting the job done.
Okay. And in terms of, buildings and cityscapes, and I guess what you would call more broadly, infrastructure and asset management, how has the benefit to take what I guess you would call the as-built changed your perception of the pre-existing stuff that was there? Because I can imagine you're seeing every sort of flaw or quirk that's now there that, isn't necessarily what was on the page when they were designing it. So, yeah, tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, oh my goodness. We do have a country that is in constant state of decay. And so when you start hearing about, more and more railway derailments and bridges collapsing and things along